Welcome everyone to the Weed Trash Can. This is Mechanical here, taking the stand in for Byron. I'm kidding, he's actually here.
Yeah.
But it is your special episode!
It's my birthday!
Woo! What are we talking about?
Well, we're delving in to parodies.
Woo! Yeah!
Good time.
Good.
We all need a good laugh every now and then.
Ain't that the truth?
You know?
Especially in the world we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we get into the topic, let's just go around and do the introductions.
Alright, hi, Byron D-Zero here. Usually at the helm, but, you know, I'm feeling magnanimous, so I'm gonna give the reins to Mark.
I am so honored.
Yes, you should be. Don't get too used to it.
Maggle B, what's going on?
And back again, tall and lanky.
Welcome back to the potty.
Thank you.
It's been a while. And I dragged along one of my friends from the little scene here today. Why don't you introduce yourself?
My name's Andy. Hello.
Hi, Andy.
All right.
Welcome to the club.
All right, Mark. So what do you got for us tonight to start us off?
Well, our whistles. To start us off is pretty much the epitome of parodies upon parodies, Pop Team Epic.
The new hotness in parody.
Yes. It's like, they like nitpick and choose from like different genres and different series, like just like pop like little jokes. Like, there's one where Pee Pee Me is Guts and Popco is the Bailiff.
Oh, God.
Oh, good Berserk reference there.
And they get so self-aware with the jokes. I love it.
Now also they change like the media style of it. They like I think it's like a flash animation or
yes.
QuickTime, followed by like they do some more of like a choppy flash animation. They do like the Bob Team Epic.
Yes, they even get into like felt figure animation.
Stop animation.
Yes.
Oh, I've seen commercials of those. Yeah, I love that stuff.
So what's the general premise or, like, plot of the series?
The general premise is, well, it actually doesn't really have one. They try to make one, but then they fall flat. Like, sometimes they die halfway through, and then the next scene is like, oh, nothing actually really happened of consequence.
Oh, so it's just super episodic?
Yes.
Yes.
Cool.
So you can just jump in at any point, which makes for a beautiful entry point at any point. You can drop it off whenever you want. You're not going to miss anything since there's no continuity.
Yeah, it's like set up sort of like sketch comedies, like little bits.
Robot Chicken and all that good stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
What about Pop Team Epic made it your choice, though?
Oh, it has to have been like that sucker punch they throw right at the start. Like, it made it seem like it's going to be like a moe sort of anime.
Yes.
And it was like, nope, we're flipping the script on this crap. This is something entirely different.
Yeah, and the funny thing about that is, you'd think it was a one-time gag. They do this every episode. And they don't, and no genre is safe. No genre of media, not just anime, but like, mm-hmm. no genre of media whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They make references to, like, Akira. They make references to Guardians of the Galaxy at a certain point. Like,
they even troll the voice actors.
Yes, they do. Like they'll show shots of the seiyus in the booth, like completely losing their shit, and like.
And like, the producer's like, "Come on, just improvise, like go with it." Like, what the hell is? I'm a professional here. It's like, where's the scripts?
and it's even funnier when you're watching it in dub because like they're dubbing over the Japanese voice actors and just like what, it makes for like an extra fourth wall break because you're kind of just like. Why is this happening? Why?
That's something because, like, when you brought it up, I was like, Pop Team, I keep hearing about that. The second I looked it up, I was like, I need to watch that. I see commercials because at work I watch a lot of Rick and Morty, and that is, like, the number one show that they advertise during the like, commercials and everything. I was like, this looks great.
You can find it subbed on Amazon Prime.
Hmm. It's on every major anime platform at this point.
But the thing is, like, it plays first with, like, the female voice actors, and then they play it over again with, like, male, like, voice actors. Like, it's... They somewhat sort of keep the dialogue the same, but you notice, like, slight variations here and there.
And, again, they do that in the dub as well, so they're trying to make consistent. Because you'll miss out on certain joke points if you just watch it. If you just watch it that one time. In that one viewing in the episode. Honestly, I will admit I've fallen behind in the show. There's a lot of anime to ingest in this day and age, and it was just one of those ones where I'm just like, there's no narrative, I'll get back to it eventually. And eventually hasn't come yet, so I'm lazy.
Slowly reeling it in.
Yeah. I'm preaching the choir on that one. I get this. You know, I keep telling you how many things I'm in the middle of watching and just haven't gone back to you yet, so believe me, I dig.
But, I mean, if you have a loose sense of humor and you got the time to spare, I highly recommend it. I mean, you can watch the full episode if you want, or you can't. I'm not gonna say don't do it. Anything else you want to add on this new hotness and parody?
Well, this new hotness and parody, I am really looking forward to season 2 when it finally comes out.
Ooh.
It's in the works right now, so it's any month now, really.
I do think it's an interesting side note to bring up that the source material for it is a 4-panel or 4-coma webcomic. So it's like, bam, 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 quick read. You don't really have to dedicate a lot of time to it. And... You know, if Japanese humor is your thing, give it a try. So I guess I'm up now. Mine is an oldie but a goodie. This to me is at the epicenter of anime parody. A little ditty called Excel Saga. This is the tale of Excel, who works for the organization Across. Who is essentially the narrative is essentially a Pinky in the Brain.
Hey, Leo Brazza!
Exactly. She's dedicated her entire life to the service of the sovereign of Across, Lord Ippolazzo.
Yes.
And later on in the series, she is teamed up with Hyatt, who is a hemophiliac, purple-haired young lady, and they go on various misadventures trying to basically. Control the masses in order to have Across eventually take over the world. It's a very loose narrative. It doesn't really have too much of a point. We want to get into the parody aspect of it, and by Jesus, is there a lot of parody involved? There are pop culture references all over the place, from Tokusatsu, Fist of the North Star, Sailor Moon,
Aliens,
Dragon Ball.
Gundam.
Jesus Christ! A lot of Leiji Matsumoto stuff is referenced in it as well. Mm-hmm. Jesus, where do I begin? I was introduced to the dub, and boy, let me tell you, was that a ride! I've seen a little bit of the sub, but the dub is the dub, mwah, because
chef kiss.
Thank you, early 2000s on demand.
Yes, and. I probably wouldn't have had anywhere near as much fun if it weren't for this dub. Just trying its best to make up for, like, a lot of the cultural references. Like I said, a lot of, like, anime references, like... I'm going to butcher the name of this episode. This is semi-related to what Maggie's going to be bringing up. There was an episode called Daitenzin, which was a Sentai team... Which is loosely based off of the mangaka's the manga's first dummy series, and because it was being done in English and most Western viewers didn't know about a lot of the stories they referenced, they instead of using names like Lawson's or Matsumoto Kiyoshi in Japan, they use names like Daitenzin Macy's and. Daitens in S-Mart, and yada, yada, yada. And it was so dumb, it was hilarious.
Guess it'd be a real tongue twister over time.
Oh, yeah, that goddamn name. I gotta look that up at some point.
Daitenzin, damn it!
Yes, Daitenzin. I can't say that more than once. Another one of my favorite ones. It was one kid's, like, strictly related to just a love letter to anime. Excel was saving a high school kid who from getting beaten up by thugs. She grabs like two bean jelly buns, and she does like this whole Sailor Moon intro thing. She's like, "And on behalf of the toon, I will punish you." Man, it's been a long time since I've seen this series, but I can recall so much of it so quickly. And then there is the final episode, which was like, you know, this is the final episode. We're going to do whatever the hell we want.
Taking it to the limit.
Jesus. And I'm going to give the reins to you for this one. Describe the final episode to the listening audience if they haven't watched it yet.
Okay. They just wrapped up the Fist of the North Star parody arc.
Yes, they did. This was like the actual story, so they really didn't have any direction to go with it.
So to close it all off, they had Hayachan overbleeding all over the place, like blood was coming out of places where it shouldn't have.
Yes.
Top of her head with no, like, no knocks or whatever. It's like, oh, hey, I sprung a leak.
This is going to be a bit of a trigger warning, but there were direct references to pedophilia in this episode, too. Mm-hmm.
Body swap.
Yes. There was this lowly-looking girl who was much older than she led on to believe. And one of the running gags was about the scientist who had a thing for younger girls. He designed one of his robots to look like a young girl. And when he found out that the lowly girl was actually older, he's like, "Nope, too old for me. Too old for me." It was pretty creepy in hindsight, yeah. But it's like that was the direction of the show. It was just like, we don't care anymore, so we're just going to do whatever we want. And
there's also Nabashin, like, busting in all those, like, different hotel rooms, trying to find them, and, like, each time it was, like, either wrinkly old people going, huh? Or, like, wrinkly old Muppet people going, huh? And then just going, no! Like, blasting them away with them.
For a little point of reference about who Nabashin is in the series, he's actually Shinichi Watanabe. I always get these two confused. Shinichi Watanabe, who was the show's director. He has a penchant for doing off-the-wall and weird shows like this. And he also has a habit of inserting himself in the show that he directs. And he was a long-running player in the series. In the main narrative, he came off as like this Goku-type mentor character. And as someone who's actually had the honor of meeting him, I got to express my love. Nabashin has this penchant for doing weird characters similar to and the actor who played L in the live action Death Note. He likes doing like weirder projects like Nerima Daikon Brothers. Yes.
I love Daikon Brothers.
Yes, and he's an insert character in that as well.
Daikon Brothers is kind of like that's almost like a musical parody of the Blues Brothers.
Yes.
It's very good. It's very good.
And I'm a little disappointed we didn't bring that up in our musical episode, but maybe we can talk about it some other time.
I thought about it afterwards, like, seriously, on the drive home after our musical episode, I was like, motherfucker!
Yes.
We can always do revisit episodes.
That's true,
absolutely.
Because genres keep expanding.
Yeah, they do.
That's true. But we're getting off topic here.
Back on track.
Yes. There's not really a lot I can say because it's just such an off-the-wall series, but you know, if you consider yourself an old taku and you haven't watched this, what the hell are you doing? Seriously. I mean, at this point, Disco Tech Meteor or Sentai Filmworks, I forget which one of them has. And actually, Funimation has it in their library at this point. You can probably find it on Hulu if you're lucky.
No.
Really?
Oh, wait, maybe. I need to double check that.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, just do a quick Google search, and I'm sure you'll find it. You might be able to find it on YouTube. I'm not suggesting anything against it.
You'll most likely find it broken up.
True story.
Poor quality.
But if you want to watch it, there are worse ways to go about it. On to Maggleby.
What you got? I'm going to talk about a beautiful series that only lasted for two episodes because... everyone gave up on it because it was real bad. Like, they knew what they were doing.
How bad are we talking here?
Oh, real bad. I'm talking about a little old show called Shinesman. Shinesman is a parody of the Sentai Suits, Power Rangers kind of genre.
Yes.
The idea behind it is that you have this, you know, Sentai Suit team, and their cover is they all work as business people for, like, a trade company. But that's also their major theming. So they all got to pick their own colors, and they made stupid choices. The leader of the team is red, because that's what it has to be. And that's literally, like, during his interview, he's not interviewing for a hero job. He is interviewing for this trade company. And one of the random questions is, what color do you think a superhero should be? And he thinks of his little brother saying, red's the greatest because he's always the leader and the hero. And so he goes red in his interview. And that somehow signs him up to be a part of the Shinesman.
Yeah.
It's absolutely hysterical. So he's the only normal color. The other colors are moss green, sepia, gray, and salmon
and pink.
Of course, salmon pink is the only girl. And they constantly call back to how stupid their colors are. And every single person on the team believes in their color, loves their color, defends their color. Everyone else who interacts with them in the world is like, those are stupid fucking colors.
Yeah.
Those are really stupid colors. And yeah, like I said, so their team theming is also business related. So their weapons, their themed weapons, are business card cutters, which are basically business card shuriken. You have tie clip bombs. And just nonsense like that. And they also, constantly comment on how stupid their weapons are. There is an actual line in this show go, man, you ever wish you just had a shotgun? I don't even have a nail file. Like, it's hysterical. It's very good. So then, of course, in a Sentai show, you have your hero team, so you have to have your alien villains.
Yes.
Who are also masquerading on Earth as they're trying to take over the Earth, but first they have to take over the business world.
Business before pleasure.
Yes, so you have these evil aliens from the planet Voice who are trying to take over and invade Earth. But the two representatives there laying the groundwork are doing so by, like, taking over businesses. So the Shinesmen go out and defeat monsters, but literally the first thing you see them doing is defeating a giant, like, big green alien monster with tentacles and stuff, and it's very, you know, stereotypical, like, Power Ranger kind of looking thing. But then they say, that this alien was specifically designed not to have more defenses and weaponry because he was designed for corporate espionage. So that he could, like, when he was looked like a human, he went in and was taking over other companies to make way for these evil aliens.
Beautiful.
It's hysterical. You even have stupid stuff like, at some point they're making a call to Homeworld. And they're like, oh, we can't call them until after 6. Oh, why? Well, it would be a huge power drain. Oh, yes, I see. We don't want to draw attention to our organization. No, actually, that wasn't the main concern. You see, after 6, it's only 10 cents a minute. You've been on Earth too long.
I do remember that one. That
oh,
joke.
My God. Oh, my God. It's hysterical. You have so the whole thing is incredibly fast-paced and choppy and weirdly cut. And you have the big combo moves, and you have the over-the-top, like, suit-changing sequences, and they so know what they're doing. It's absolutely hysterical. They also have the actual superhero team framed around a, TV show superhero team. That's
yes.
The same kind of thing. The Great Men are super popular. And in the show, as business people, they're opening a park, and the Great Men are performing at the park. So you see the more traditional, you know, Sentai suit Power Ranger archetype right there, and then you see these real-life heroes who are an exact reflection of that archetype, but real bad. It's very, very, very fun. I could literally just spend the next 15 minutes going through hysterical quotes, talking about how much I love their main female villain, how just ridiculous she is. Yeah, no, it's incredible, and they hit on really basically every major trope involved with the Sentai suit formula, and they do all of this in 2 episodes.
I gotta mention, as something of a scholar in this genre, one of the notes they hit is like how the main hero usually forms some sort of like will they won't they romance with one of the major female characters.
Yep.
And it is done to perfection. I don't want
to... With the villain, though.
Yes.
Yeah, the villain. Because they hint at it really quickly. In the first episode, there's a moment where he's passing one of his co-workers in the hall. And you have the, like, oh, hey, they're clearly attracted to each other. And then they just never go back to it.
Nope.
She has her own thing about how her brother... She's an alien, too, and her brother's an alien, but now he was a good alien, but now he's on the bad guy's side, and he's been brainwashed.
Ooh,
and this happens in, like, a 2-second thing. She's like, why didn't my brother recognize me? Oh, wait! They were doing brainwashing experiments in the castle! He must have been brainwashed! And that's the extent of it. Like, that's almost an exact quote.
Oh, jeez. When I first saw this, I saw it on International Channel, and I saw it subbed, so I've seen, like, I briefly listened to the dub, but yeah, that dub's something special.
Oh, they totally lean into it in the dub. It's great. They know that they're making a parody, and it's absolutely hysterical. I love it.
And like you said, there's only 2 episodes. It ain't gonna take too long to watch.
Yeah.
30-minute episodes, right?
Yeah, the whole thing is an hour out of your life. 52 minutes. You can find it on YouTube.
And fun fact, Hironobu Kageyama does the theme song for it.
The theme song is so good!
Which is also a nice little nod to, like, those live-action tokusatsu shows.
Oh,
because yeah. Kageyama's done a number of intros for those shows as well. It's very cute how much work they put into this parody.
Yeah, and like I said, it's only 2 episodes long, and it's... I'm not sure if they meant to do more with it, and they were just... After 2 episodes, they said nope, because they kind of set it up so that it could continue to go on. But it never does, and honestly, that's for the best.
So what you got for us?
Well, okay, so I'm going to be honest with you guys. Any day of the week, any time, just pop it on either Dragon Ball Z Abridged. I kind of want to lean because we're right near the Halloween spooky season.
We're in the Halloween spooky season.
Yes, we
are. It's October.
Woo-hoo. So I kind of want to lean more into the Hellsing Abridged this time because like I could go on about DBZ Abridged all day. But no, just Hellsing as an anime in general is just so cool. I love it. I know it's like I still need to see it in its entirety. But,
Say Megatron's talked about how much he loves that series.
Yeah, no, it's great. Because I'm a big blood and gore type person and everything like that. No, but, Takahata, the guy who made that one, Nappa and his voice is so perfect for Alucard there, and just like, and
give me a cookie!
No, hands down, any day, like, just... My go-to quote is after he gets decapitated from what's his face there.
Oh, God.
And she's holding, police girl.
I know where you're going.
Is holding her head, his head. And she's like, oh, no. And she's limping away. And he's like, police girl. Police girl. You are reading your master's mind. Put my head between your boobs. And she's like, now I don't know what to do. And she just literally just nuzzles the hedge from the anime.
Very good. Well, the next thing I want you to do.
And it kills me. He's just so good at it. But again, it's just like they're clearly fans of the original show, so they don't go too far off of it, and just, God, it's funny.
The only thing I will say about DBZ Abridged, go into it. It's great on its own. Hellsing Abridged definitely needs to come with a little bit of a trigger warning, because their language is constantly super rapey.
Oh, yes. That's true.
Super rapey.
Well, the source material gets sort of rapey as well.
Yes, very creepy. I mean, they do a great job.
I'm Nazis.
Yes. It's a great parody. I absolutely love it. But I was showing it to a friend recently who loves Hellsing. And we could only get through the first episode and a half before she was like, yeah, this is actually kind of too much. They kind of cross a line. But it is a lot of fun.
I know, because
just don't go into this expecting DBZ Abridged.
No, yeah. It's it is.
They get... way more explicit.
Yeah, no, for as close as they are, like, same voice actors and everything, no, they did go in a very different direction with that one. But I have very dark humor, too, so it doesn't help.
Yeah.
I love what they do with the Catholic priest.
Yeah.
He's very good.
I'm looking at the IMDb, and they actually got Chris Sabat to... starting this one, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, no, that's right. They actually got him in one of the episodes, I remember. It's like, it's one of his flashbacks.
Nice.
And I heard it, I was like, that's actually Sabat right there. Yeah, no, so great.
I'm here for that shit. I haven't watched enough of it, though.
Yeah, no, see, that's the thing. I had to actually stop watching the Abridged show, because I haven't, like I said, most of the actual show I haven't seen. Because when I first saw the first, like, two or three episodes, it was all that they had at the time. And I'm like...
Yeah.
And that was back in college. That was back in 2007.
Oh, my God, right?
And I'm like, this show is awesome. And I just... big surprise, yet to go back to it. And because I want to get, like, a box set or something. Because the only thing that they sell is just volumes. I hate when they just sell volumes. Just give me the whole freaking series.
Well, you know...
I want to own it. It's like, it's something I want to have.
I've actually seen some. I'll let you know after the recording's done.
Who leads?
Hellsing Abridged?
No, not Hellsing
Abridged. No,
okay. Hellsing series.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're out there. I mean, Funimation has the rights to Ultimate,
yeah.
So...
That's one of the things that throws me off, is, it's like, what? Because I know they did Hellsing, and then all of a sudden Hellsing Ultimate, and I was trying to look it up. I know, like... one of them got canceled, then they repicked it up and became Hellsing Ultimate or something like that.
Ultimate is to Hellsing what FMA is to Brotherhood.
Gotcha. Okay. Yep. All right. Okay.
Closer to the manga source.
Yes.
Cool.
That's what happened. That's right. I knew it was something weird. Yeah, no.
But yeah, the YouTube parodies are very good fun.
Yes, indeed.
They're great.
Man, like I said, it's just most of that is just quotable goodness. Like that's.
Oh my God. That's great.
So.
And I think what makes these parodies like this and other Abridged series so great is, like, they're made by fans for fans.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times, like, in the case of DBZ Abridged, sometimes they do it. They do more justice to the source material than the source material does to the source material.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's very good. If we're going to talk about, you know, the YouTube parody series, I also have to mention... 50% off, which is the free parody.
Oh my God.
It's very good. It's very good. Thug Nagisa is life.
I don't know that one.
It's worth watching.
It's very good. I will subject you to it at some point, but that's one where you're going to get more out of it if you've watched the actual series, because a lot of what's funny about 50% off as a parody is what they do with the characters.
Gotcha.
So you kind of have to have that baseline of knowing who Nagisa is and what he's like for Thug Nagisa to be so hysterical.
That's why the first night you showed me Dragon Ball Z Abridged, as because I've already seen
Dragon Ball Z and just watched it. Yeah, we were at a friend's party. So drunk. Jack was so drunk.
Yeah.
That was the night she hugged the carpet.
Yep. The spin was rooming.
Oh, Jesus.
No, we seriously just, like, this was when we first met, and I literally just took him back into, like, the laundry room at a party, and instead of making out like normal college kids would, we watched DBZ Abridged.
And it immediately because if you just know the original source material, it is just that much better. But it's still great standalone as well, as you guys know. But oh my god!
And it's like if the parody is good enough, it can take on a life of its own. Like what happened with DBZ Abridged.
Oh yeah.
Not so much with Hellsing Ultimate.
It didn't get as much traction. Yeah. I think because not as many people can watch it because it's not as family friendly.
Exactly.
So
I need to get into Gundam Bridge.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Oh.
Don't do this.
Oh Jesus.
Let's have a bridge binge fest.
Yes. Oh yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, none of these other ones would be around if it weren't for Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged.
Yes, the granddaddy of anime parodies, which
has how many subscribers?
Yeah. Yes, that's there's in DBZ Abridged. They actually specifically make a reference to Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged. Yep. In Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged is watching one of their videos and just goes, this is, what is this bullshit? It's very funny.
Again, that's when you know a parody is taking life on its own, when they can make those kind of jokes. Because a lot of the voice actors in both shows, they collaborate a lot.
Oh, yeah.
They're different companies. Like, Team Four Star is a brand now because of this.
Oh, yeah.
Is Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged done by Team Exodia?
No, but it should be.
Yes, that would be brilliant.
This was before any of them formed into, like, solid groups. There's a lot of people in Team 4-Star who worked on Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, and a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged people who will guest star on Team 4-Star stuff.
And it launched the career of one of my favorite YouTubers, Masako X, who does the voice of Goku. His name
is very British.
Yes, very British. And he's actually been working on a couple of projects that I've been taking a lot of interest to. He does, like, this ongoing What If series where
we talked about this before.
Yes, where he pontificates about, like, what if certain characters that might have been killed off take on different lives. And the most popular one was one called What If Raditz Turned Good.
Yep. Yeah, I always wish Raditz was a bigger part of that because it's the whole Saiyan saga.
Well, if that's your cup of tea, he has this ongoing audio drama called Dragon Ball R&R, which is like the story about Raditz and his daughter Raunch.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's more transformative. We're kind of getting off topic because that's more transformative fiction than it is parody.
Yes, it is. But it's just interesting how much, like, YouTube parodies can get the creative juices flowing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's a ton of crossover. Transformative fiction is kind of the literary term for fan fiction.
Yes.
It's taking existing characters and an existing world and doing your own thing with them. So, you know, fan fiction. But it has a fancy name, too.
Yes, it does. But
there is definitely a lot of crossover between parody and transformative works. Parodies technically are kind of transformative works.
Yeah. And, I mean, the reason that Team 4-Star has gotten, and companies like, yeah, Team 4-Star, who did both of these series, how they've gotten so far is because of the Fair Use Act.
Yes.
Hold on, let me get my thoughts together.
Okay.
So, as long as either parody are done to educate people, you can use it to make profit. And that's how they've become, like, this mini little marketing empire in the internet world.
And regarding specifically YouTube parody stuff and fair use, that became a really... That blew up and became a really big issue a few years back. about defining exactly what fair use was and exactly what parody was. And we should link, there's an amazing video that the Nostalgia Critic does explaining this. And I think that'd be a useful thing to... Yeah.
It's funny you brought him up right now, because when you brought up, what's his name? The guy who does Goku's voice.
Masako X.
Thank
yes.
you. The Nostalgia Critic does a quick review, not a quick review, but Dragon Ball Evolution, and he's one of the side people that's on.
And Little Karibo.
Yep.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged.
Yep. Little Karibo is one of kind of what the major creative force behind Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, and works very closely with the people who ended up creating Team Four Star.
Yeah.
And I find that really interesting that you would bring that up, because even like with our own YouTube stuff, I've had to deal with a lot of the backlash of fair use, because anime studios tend to clutch their pearls when it comes to the use of their IPs.
Yes.
So anybody out there who's considering getting into like anime YouTubing, do your homework.
You have to be very, very careful on what you use. Song rights, you can only use stills. You can't really use videos. If you're going to use videos, you have to do a lot of homework about what is and isn't acceptable.
So I guess we can get into runner-ups here if you'd like. Mm-hmm. What do you got for a runner-up?
My runner-up is Oedo Rocket. You guys familiar with that one?
I am, actually.
It was actually based off a play.
Oh, neat.
But it...
How's this parody, though?
It's a parody of Life in the Tokugawa era.
Ooh.
It's busting the fourth wall every now and then, cracking jokes at our expense.
That is a good one.
But it actually has, like, a solid plot to it. It's like...
Cool.
An alien from the moon crashes to Earth, hunting down, like, an evil alien that kills people. But this alien, like, disguises herself as, like, a human girl just to blend in with the community. But that's not revealed to them, like, later on. But, like, you know from the get-go she's an alien.
Nice. Wow. I actually had a couple of runner-ups that I wanted to bring up. I'll just try to go over them pretty quickly. My first one is one called Dokoida, which is very similar to Shinesman. It's about a freighter who ends up getting a job with a corporation, and he ends up getting the alien suit that looks very much like Ultraman, and he's fighting other alien demonic entities who all live in the same housing complex. It's pretty cute. Another one, Samurai Flamenco, which is about a pop star who masquerades as a crime fighter, and it goes from like it goes from him fighting office supplies to eventually becoming like a legit tokusatsu hero. And as the story progresses, it gets more and more into like a realistic realm, and I can't describe it and do it justice. Look it up. It's on Crunchyroll. It's on Verve. You'll have a good time.
Guaranteed.
And I think if I could... You know, those are like my two main ones. Oh, no. Gintama. If you don't know what Gintama is, you've been living under a rock in the anime world.
Hey, my rock is cozy.
How much moss you got?
Jesus.
This one. This is Gintama.
Yes.
Oh, they look familiar.
Okay.
Yeah. So you don't get that much moss.
Bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo.
Oh, Bo Bo.
Yeah.
Those hair.
Which is one of the coolest shonen anime parodies in existence.
Jeez.
Because, oh my god.
What a weird show.
It is. But it does all the shonen tropes, including making fun of like the traditional boyish protagonist and how he's not actually the focus of the show.
Yeah. My daddy was a hair follicle.
Oh, man. But the runner-ups.
So I sort of have runner-ups. I'm gonna touch on anime that sort of rides the line between parody and deconstruction. Parody you often think of more in like a comic light, versus deconstruction tends to be, it can be kind of serious in its own right.
But the two aren't mutually exclusive.
They are absolutely not. So I would be remiss not to bring up One Punch Man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
One Punch Man is, I would when I describe it to people, I talk about it as a deconstruction of shonen battle anime, but it's also kind of a parody because they know there are a lot of very funny moments within that overall deconstruction. The mosquito woman, like, is hysterical. So it's definitely both a parody and a deconstruction. And along those same lines, Ouran High School Host Club is a parody slash deconstruction of the reverse harem kind of trope.
Oh, yeah, now you mention it.
It is. It absolutely is. Now, I've got my own set of issues with Ouran High School Host Club. Parts that I love about it, parts that I found very problematic upon rewatching. But at its heart, it absolutely is a parody of and a deconstruction of the reverse harem trope. So I'm just touching on those. I'm just going to mention them. They're worth looking into if you enjoy either of those, overall genres, they're really cool to look into. And depending on what your definition of parody is, they can both definitely be categorized as such.
You got a runner-up for us, Rick?
I got one runner-up here for in my own brain, but again, this one, it was only four episodes before. They fell under the fair use stuff, like, and so, but they just never, they weren't big enough to fight it or anything like that, so they canceled it. Double the North Star.
I don't know about this one.
This one is not like any of the other, like, this one, they pretty much just take it and... it's just so ridiculous. It's just more just joke. But you know, they still edited it really great and everything like that. Never mind her. She's just a sandwich. The little mute girl. She's just always like. It's a fun watch. It's four episodes. They're just about like the same running time as all the others, like 6 to 10 minutes long. You can get through it in like just a little bit. But it's just, again, for as short as it is, it's got some of the best quotable stuff in it. But yeah, no, so that's, like I said, not as in depth as DBZ Bridge and Hellsing Bridge are. It's just more, here's something to laugh at. There you go. Have fun with it.
Time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's all I got, though.
All right, then. So, I mean, comedy, parody, what more can you say besides this? The shit's fucked up, but it's a fun time.
It's good. Parody is... I've always enjoyed a good parody because it's intelligent humor.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, a great parody, like, doesn't just make fun of what's relevant. It ages well, which is where failings like in the West, like Epic Movie or movies from that same company fail because they're just doing modern pop culture references, mm-hmm. and you watch them now and you're kind of just like,
they don't hold up.
They really don't.
Not a lot of them do.
Not really.
I was gonna say, really really good parodies make fun of not just let's talk about this one celebrity who did this crazy thing 2 years ago.
Yep.
They make fun of a genre or an event or something as a whole. And again, good parodies will typically do that lovingly. Well, that they understand the source material, and whether they love it or they hate it, they're very well acquainted with it. And can then take that and turn it on its head.
Which is like shows like Bo 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 Bo, which understand where like all the people involved who understand shonen. They don't miss a beat with the jokes. They really just get so absurd with it. Or like Gintama, where like they understand like period dramas and how space operas work and seamlessly meld them into this. cohesive narrative that have become some of the most popular IPs in Western or Japanese media. And did I mention there's a live action of Gintama? Just throwing it out there.
All right. Noted.
Yes. Well, you know, yep, if there's nothing else, This is Barney Zero saying Ja Matana and happy fucking birthday to this beautiful bastard over here.
Thanks, brother.
Happy birthday, Mechanical.
There's a giant cake right here. It's a magnificent. Oh my god, the flames are intense.
It's burning the cake. Oh no, he ate it all.
That was a Slimer move right there.
You have a stomach ache?
Oh, I don't feel so good. I'm coming apart. Thanos, what have you
done? Oh.
Is that your sign off? Okay.
Okay, I'm back. So, yeah.
Recycle, reuse, renew, and all that good jazz. The candle signing out.
Maggleby, see y'all next week.
And Todd Lanky, about to walk on out.
Bye.